What's good, Clipper Nation? You got nothing?
I thought you were going to keep going.
Oh, all right. Well, it's me, William, the Opinion Uptake.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yep.
We're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news.
Mm-hmm.
And news there is.
Yeah, we got a tough matchup.
Yeah. Got an interesting test of the offense. Got an interesting test against the Utah Jazz coming up for you today if you're listening to this.
I mean, yeah, hopefully they will be.
Well, I don't know. You know, you could listen to this podcast in any timeline you choose.
That's true.
We don't subscribe to any sort of set timeline.
Oh, yeah.
There's no one time.
Yeah, there's no one time.
Anyways, I digress. We're going to be kicking things off with a recap, as Charles said, of that matchup against the Jazz. We're going to be talking about some things to look for. Heaven forbid, some things that could go wrong.
Yeah.
And some key matchups you want to watch out for.
You call it a recap, which is funny. It's a preview.
It's both. There is no time.
Yeah,
the beginning is the end. And then we're getting into a little segment. Are you going to introduce it?
It's the What You Say Wednesday. It's a poll we're I didn't want to do this thing. It's a poll that we're taking. We're going to talk about it every Wednesday. We take it on Tuesday. Thanks for participating in it. It is on Twitter. So if you want to participate, follow at Locked On Clips.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that question.
Follow Locked On Clips, even if you don't want to participate.
Yeah. Just come say what's up.
And then we're going to be wrapping things off with our daily segment, Shavings.
Yeah.
We're going to open the drawer. We found some stuff.
Yeah, there was a couple of nice things in there. Nice news on Jerome and Shamit. Third year options picked up. It's a good time. I'm excited.
It's a good time in Clipper Nation. All right. Anyways, let's get into it.
Okay. So the Clippers take on the Jazz. Big question I think some people are thinking for this game, just initially, do we think Patterson starts again?
Yes.
Really?
I do.
Even with, we talked about this a little bit before we started recording, their 1, 2, and 3 is Conley, Mitchell, and then Bojan, who's playing out of his mind right now.
Yeah. Shooting the ball really well. I don't know. He does fall down a lot, though.
I mean, that only happened like twice in one game.
In Clippers history. So,
but you still think Patterson's out there?
I do. I think that I don't see any reason to not put him out there. Do you have an argument? Do you have a strong enough con argument? Because I'll hear the arguments.
Defensively, I would just want Harkless out there, I guess. But now that I'm thinking about it, Patterson would be nice because then we're going to have to bang around with Gobert. Mm-hmm. It's going to have to be a team effort on boards.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I maybe like Patterson taking that punishment a little bit more than Harkless.
Yeah. Because
our bench, I think, is better than theirs.
Yeah. I mean, the depth definitely falls out, which we can get into later. I do think, to answer your question, I think Patterson gets the start. I think that Doc
would be bad at it.
No, Doc rolls with the guys that got us here thus far. As I said, I'm willing to hear counterpoints.
Yeah.
For the Patterson thing, I don't see a strong enough negative from his performance thus far to validate him like not starting.
For sure. Let's get into what we need to do well.
Yeah.
This one I think is pretty obvious to most people listening to this.
But we say it every time.
It's especially important against Rudy Gobert. And that's getting boards.
It's getting boards. couple of board heads over here on Locked On Clips.
We're surprisingly 9th in total rebounds to their 7th. That seems like it might widen as the year goes on.
Yeah. But right now, that's a really solid split. I mean, not if Patrick Beverley keeps rebounding the way he's rebounding.
Which we're going to need, kind of like in the Lakers game, mm-hmm. what Doc said about the guards crashing the boards. In terms of offensive boards, the Jazz give up 7 a game.
Okay.
Which is not a lot. I think if Zoo and Trez can combine for 15-plus boards,
mm-hmm.
plus some of that guard work from Bev, we'll be in okay shape. I still think we probably lose boards in this game.
I think with Gobert, that is a reasonable assumption. I'd kind of like, and I mean, you can tell me if you think I'm way off base here.
Okay.
Even factoring in Gobert, I 1 through 4 like the rebounding of our starting lineup better than theirs.
I was just looking at that too, at their rebounding numbers. So Gobert averages 12. Second is Ed Davis with 5, Donovan Mitchell with 5, Joe Ingles with 5.
So and we're none of those guys start.
Yeah. Well, except for Mitchell.
Mitchell with five as well. My bad.
But yeah, I mean, we're just going to need to neutralize Gobert, which is difficult to do. He's an elite rebound. He's, you know.
Well, we can get that into that later in the matchups. I couldn't agree more. Rebounding is going to be important. It's going to be important for this team all year long. I think that we're making steps in the right direction.
For sure.
Always room for improvement.
Yes.
I like what you put in here next. Got to start to hit our stride defensively.
Yeah, the Jazz offensively are playing horribly to start the year.
Yes. They are, I believe, the 28th ranked offense.
They're averaging
of 30.
Yeah, they're averaging 96 a game or something like that.
Yeah.
They scored 96 last game, 113 before that, 86 before that, and then 100 in their first game. So,
yeah, Basketball Reference has them at a hair under 99 points.
That's not good. Game. But their defense is playing at a number 2 defensive rating clip,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like is going to be their normal range maybe. They're going to be in that top 5.
They're going to be top 5 for sure. I would be very surprised if that was to slip much more past that.
On the other side, though... We're at 25th in defensive rating.
Yeah.
Which is definitely not where we're going to be for the rest of the year. I think we can all assume.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's been some outlier games. I mean, I think I did panic a little. I'll admit to panicking maybe a little bit after the Suns games when in three...
Things were jumpy. It was
in three games, two teams had put up a buck 20 on us or more.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to continue.
I don't either. Mitchell and Bogdanovich make up 48 points per game for the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
Only other player, number 3, is averaging 10.
And that's Moutier?
That is Moutier, I believe. I'm going to double check on that. But so if we neutralize
one
of those two, that is Moutier with 10. Good call. Gobert with 9. Royce O'Neal with 9. Yeah, if we hold those guys. Transitioning to what could go wrong, though, someone mm-hmm. who I might worry about who could come alive, Mike Conley.
Yeah, I mean, he's due for a big game.
He's shooting 20%, which is not going to continue. He's only dishing out 4.2 assists.
That's what kind of surprises me the most.
Definitely. Well, I think it's hard for Utah to get off the Mitchell show in terms of offense. I don't mean that in a rude way, but he was a lot of their offense. He took 24 shots or something like that last game.
That's fair. You just think, though, like adding Bogdanovich like into the rotation, you know, gives you another quality person to dish it out to. Also, like a big man like Gobert, I feel like is kind of tailored for Conley.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not the same as Gasol by any stretch of the mind. He's so much more one-dimensional offensively.
For sure.
But you would think they'd be a good pairing.
I agree. It is, yeah. You know, it's no Zoo and Kawhi. Yeah, Mitchell takes 17.5 shots a game at this point. Bohan, 15. Conley, 11. So Conley could get a little bit hot, I mm-hmm. think. Gobert could be Gobert.
Yeah.
Last two games versus the Clips, he put up 22 boards and 13 boards. I mean, we really like to seem to challenge him in games, especially last season, and it never worked.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going at him at the rim, I don't know what you're expecting. It's pretty well documented what's going to happen.
I like Zoo's confidence right now, though. I think he might...
I do like Zoo's confidence. I do wish, and I don't know who that person is on the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is Patterson. Someone who could stretch him out a little bit more. You know what I mean? We don't really have that dude at the 5.
Maybe
Jamichael,
yeah.
A little.
I was going to say Jamichael, but
are we saying a little Jamichael Green maybe?
But I don't know if that works.
It's an interesting notion.
Here's one. No free throws to bail us out. The Jazz are very good at not fouling. Quinn Snyder coaches his guys really well. Our free throw attempts dip against the Jazz.
Mm-hmm.
If we're playing funky and we're not able to get to the line, that's when we usually sputter specifically against this Jazz team last year.
Yeah.
But transitioning smoothly into key matchups, I think Kawhi is going to have a good time in this game. I think point Kawhi, I think we might see a career high in assists from Kawhi because he's going to draw so much attention from Gobert, I think, when he gets into that mid-range and a little lower.
Yeah. It's really a perfect matchup for mitigating the Gobert factor around the rim.
Yeah.
He's not mobile enough, I don't think, to keep up with some of that.
Yeah, and on the offensive end, I think we're probably going to see what? Bev on Conley.
Yeah. That makes the most sense to me.
Sham on Mitchell.
I don't know if I love that.
Sham can't be on Bohan.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I guess it just depends on who's getting the most touches.
Fair. Yeah, so you think if Mitchell's handling the ball a lot more, they maybe put Bev on him? Because Sham on Conley, I don't...
Yeah.
Sham
on Conley, I feel like I don't dislike
that's the That's the less of the evils.
Thus far.
This team, I meant specifically.
Yeah, although, you know, I think putting Conley up on Shamet, whose defense has looked a lot better, I will say, it could be the recipe for a long night for Sham.
Okay.
Just in terms of like that veteran kind of craftiness.
For sure. No, that's a good point. But Conley is that guy.
It's an interesting conundrum.
The free safety versus the Jazz pick and roll.
Love.
Gobert and Mitchell can kill us on the pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we saw Gortat trying to defend that?
Yeah.
That was not fun. Zoo's playing good, but we're still going to need help with that. If we can stop that and maybe Mitchell, I think we're fine.
Yeah.
So I think the free safety is going to be interesting. Whoever ends up playing it the most, because it's probably going to be Kawhi.
Well, yeah. I'm fine with. Yeah. I mean, I would agree. I think, obviously, it's a lot different than playing AD. To me, Gobert is not quite that. The stretch isn't there, and he's not that post guy.
He's powerful.
He does have the power. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. He has the power, but I don't feel like it's like.
I'm a little higher on his touch game.
That's fair.
What are your predictions for this game?
Oh man. It seems like there's a very solid chance.
It's in Utah.
We could hold these boys under 100.
Really? Two games in a row?
Holding them under 100.
What's the score?
I'm thinking... it could be a nail-biter.
Okay.
It could be a... if the offense isn't clicking right away... Man, I don't know. It's definitely... Okay. So for Jazz, I'm going to stick with right around like what their average is. Let's say it's 97, 98.
Wow, okay.
In that range. I think we still put up a cool 107.
Okay. Damn, big win. 9-point win in a defensive grinded out game. Because our offense isn't playing well in that scenario.
It's not full capacity.
For
and,
sure.
And I am giving this Jazz defense credit.
No, I know. That's fair. I think this is kind of the first big test for the Clippers away, I guess. Crowd's going to be crazy. I think the Clippers win.
This is the first big test.
I think so, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an away game against a team that might be up there in the standings. Right. Clippers win 119-113.
Oh, wow. It's a little
tight. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking the poll results from What You Say Wednesday, or for What You Say Wednesday. Want to give a shout out to Indochino, world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. All right. What You Say Wednesday.
We're going to get a drop for that.
We're going to get a drop. I like this segment so far. It's been a couple weeks. Seems fun.
This is week two, but yes.
Week two. After four games, what would you like to see the team improve the most on? Was my question to Clipper Nation on Twitter. Shout out to everyone who voted. Thank you. The options were rebounding, perimeter defense, offensive fluidity, and then other. And I told people to list the reasons for other.
Okay.
Which of these four would you pick?
Hold on. Some people were saying that they thought the offense looked bad?
Yes.
What part?
Unclear. I think people are, I don't know. I think people are sticking to the negatives a lot on the offense.
What parts?
Possibly the reliance sometimes maybe on Kawhi when things aren't going well specifically.
And yeah, I think it's Kawhi. I mean, that's what you get a superstar for.
Hey, I didn't vote for that. So obviously you're not picking offensive fluidity. I believe we're the number one scoring offense in the NBA right now.
We were last time I checked, and that's true currently. I'm going perimeter defense, yeah. I think the majority hit the nail on the head on this one. Rebounding, always going to be clutch. I have a little bit more faith in that, especially just in the way that guys can pick up the slack. Not that I don't believe that we'll get there as a perimeter defending team. Just, man, I got to be honest. And this is a little recency bias.
Yeah.
That game in Charlotte, like the Charlotte game.
Yeah.
The other night was a little discouraging.
Wow. Okay.
They got a lot of open shots.
That's fair. I mean, I was going to pick perimeter defense as well. And the rest of Clipper Nation did too. 65% voted for perimeter defense. Second place was rebounding with 16%. Offensive fluidity, surprisingly, 15%. Other, 4%. Mm-hmm. As I said, I told people to comment with their other, but it was mostly just defensive things. And being annoyed, the offense looks bad. So nothing. They could have just chosen those other options.
But it looks bad.
Sometimes it gets a little herky-jerky, I would say. But it's been evened out. So like that's my thing, is it's only been for spells.
I agree. And it can, the ball gets a little sticky sometimes.
But it gets sticky with Kawhi.
Yeah, and he's a great isolation scorer. So I don't know.
But the perimeter defense is fair.
Perimeter defense, I think, is...
Someone who voted other said that we needed to run people off the three-point line more. I was like, yes, that has been... The amount of space that other teams has been a little odd.
Yeah.
Not what we're used to seeing.
Do you think...
And not what used to Kawhi is seeing. Mm-hmm. We saw him get frustrated with Lou and Trez in the... Was it the Suns game?
It was the Suns game.
We saw him get visibly frustrated, which is totally fair.
It's totally fair.
There was just some miscommunication. We need to talk more.
Yeah, I would agree. And this was something that we talked about a little bit in preseason, but...
With Pavi from Hoops and Brews. Shout out Pavi from Hoops and Brews.
Yeah.
Shout out TPJ.
It's a little disheartening when you're like there, when you're on the court or like by the score table.
Yeah.
And you don't hear them talking.
It's quiet. And you're like, what is... Guys got to be talking. You would think.
You got to be communicating.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me. I'm a big fan of communication.
But I also...
I send an email that I'm going to send an email.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
It's the prep email. I think this is growing pains too.
Agreed.
It's clearly you're adding a fantastic defensive piece, which is great, but it's still, you know, Kawhi playing defense with Trez and Lou is probably something for him to get used to. It's something for them to get used to. It's going to come along. I'm going to ask the same poll in like, I don't know, 10, 15 games or something like that to see where people are at, but
it's going to come along. And the thing is, it's like you said, I mean, the potential is definitely there. I think there's so many people on this team that can be suffocating. I can't think of a better word.
We have seen glimpse. Like, I mean, you know, we held the Hornets under 100.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen flashes.
The mighty, mighty Hornets.
We've seen flashes of what the defense can do.
Absolutely.
We need to work on fouls.
That would be nice.
26 a game. Good for 26 in the league.
I'm surprised you didn't toss turnovers in here.
I put other down. You could have voted in the poll, man. No, turnovers, that's fair. But I think all these other things take precedent over that.
That's fair.
I mean, 17. That's not very good. That's 23rd. Four games, I feel, still an absurdly small sample size.
Yeah.
I think all of these things are going to get better. Which of these things do you think maybe is going to be the slowest to develop to what fans would be pleased with. Well, not to what would be in reality.
Judging by this 20%, it seems like from the fan perspective, people are really worried about this offense fluidity, which...
15%.
Plus 4%.
Well, you can't give that whole 4.
I mean, it seemed, like, error, it seemed like a lot of it was...
The margin error on this, 0.
This one kind of surprises me, but I think... I still think it's going to take some time to see what this offense is fully capable of, and I know that this will be a more... The idea is for it to be a more defensively-minded squad, but I think that we haven't scratched the surface yet.
So here is what's interesting about that, because I agree, but there's nowhere to go but down scoring-wise right now, which is kind of funny to think about. We're number one.
No.
Which is very funny.
I see what you're saying. And like, it's not, I'm not saying that it's going to sustain at the same number or whatever, but it's, you know, we're 4 games into the season.
Yeah. We're at 121.5 right now.
Yeah. I think that we can just see it at a more consistent level, like night through night, and see maybe just a little bit more distribution, not in terms of like facilitating, but in terms of scoring. It could be a little bit more spread out. Like,
okay,
people won't have to carry, by people, you know what I'm talking about, won't have to carry like as heavy as a load is what I think.
Yeah, which, so I agree with that, but I think people are seeing part of that now, and that's where the concern of the fluidity comes in, because that is where I think the question is different, because the question isn't, is the offense playing well? It's the fluidity of it.
It's too fluid.
It's not. Well, sometimes they are passing up some good shots. It was a large percentage that voted for that. The other, you know, it was mostly defensive stuff.
Rebounding, I'm weirdly not that worried about.
Do you think because you've just made peace with the fact that we're going to be like kind of flirt with the top 10 in rebounding team? We were 13th last year.
Yeah, I think
you're fine with that.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely be a top 10 rebounding team, and
definitely be a top 10 rebounding team.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
Definitely,
Zoo's got to average more than 8.
I know, but the thing is all the health rebounding.
I know, but more than 8 is, so even if he just averages 8.
Didn't Paul George average 8 last year?
I mean, I don't know. Probably, but
there's just a lot of people that can.
Grab boards. We've seen Beverly do it. I mean, Beverly is doing it.
Becoming a great rebound.
Probably right now. He's probably working on it right now while recording.
Someone's just hucking balls at a rim. They're not even shooting.
He's got a wall that has a bunch of rims on it. So like when you throw the ball, you don't know where it's going to go. It's like those goalie training things where the ball bounces weird.
He doesn't practice with a full-size basketball. It's just one of those tennis shooters shooting at the rim.
Yeah. He's playing that old Aztec game with the hole in the side. It was like the ancient version of basketball.
Okay,
where it's like I can't remember what it's called, but instead of the hole being horizontal on the rim, it's like shaped vertical, and you got to tap it through.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Do we like the poll idea for Wednesdays?
Oh, love it.
I think it's a good call. Coming up after this, we're gonna be talking some shavings. We got some third-year options to talk. We got some schedule stuff to talk.
All right. We're in shavings.
It's shavings. So there was news today. Jerome Robinson and Landry Shamet's third-year option picked up by the team. Congrats!
You love to see it.
Totally expected.
Yeah. Well.
What?
Were you surprised about Jerome?
Not at all.
I was not surprised at all either.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're mayor, king, comptroller.
I'd have picked it up last year. Yeah,
sheriff of Jerome Island. Yeah, I would have guaranteed it. I'm excited on that. Some people were not.
About what part?
I think picking up the option. Jerome specifically.
Send him over. Tell him to drop a pin.
Yeah, Shamet, no-brainer.
Yeah.
Dude is only going to be making something like $2.1 million next year.
Wait, didn't you say somebody was mad about it?
On what?
I thought you said on Twitter somebody was mad about it.
Not Shamet.
Gotcha.
No, that would be insane. Shamet's only going to be making $2.1 million next year. How much is he going to overplay that contract? I asked that kind of hypothetically on Twitter, but now I want to try and figure out how many dollars-wise he's going to outplay that. How much per year do you think he's going to play at level-wise? Like kind of a replacement value for salary, I guess.
How many dollars per year or how many like...
His contract.
The multiplier of his contract.
Dollars per year. Like if you were to give a, if you were to be a UFA and you were to give him a contract next year.
Yeah, that's fair. Right now or the peak of his potential?
Well, just what do you think it's going to be next year specifically?
Eight, ten?
Yeah. I was going to say 12.
I mean, that I could see that, yeah.
Man, what an incredible... That trade. I was thinking about that today.
That was a great trade.
Got to be shrewd. That's how you get Landry Shamet for $2.1 million next year.
Yeah. I mean, it made sense. Like, they knew... This front office knew that they weren't going to offer Tobias the max.
Yeah.
And that was...
Got paid.
And that's what it was going to take to retain Tobias.
Yeah.
So, instead of letting him walk, made a great deal. Wow. What a great front office.
Man. Just kicking back.
Jer, come on the pod sometime. The front office is. Let's talk about it.
Jer looked great on Monday.
Oh, yeah. He had a very stylish kind of violet, blue, purple plaid suit.
Yeah, it looked great.
Purple tie. Very classy.
Lawrence Frank looked like he had just worked 27 hours in a row in a good way.
Yeah, I don't
Guy looks like he works hard.
I don't want this to sound disparaging, but Lawrence Frank always looks like he's come off of stunning for midterms.
In a good way.
In a way where, like, man, I'm
you
sure...
You handled it.
I'm sure you handled it and you got a lot of work done, but...
Yeah.
Maybe take a nap now.
You're saying Lawrence maybe needs to take a day.
You don't need to watch the whole game. I'm sure they got a cop back there.
He's probably got a crazy sleep schedule.
I don't think he has a sleep schedule.
Yeah, you think he gets it when he can. He's like, I don't know, 15 minutes here.
He's on the... Was it Da Vinci that had a really weird sleep schedule?
Yeah, you would sleep. I had friends who tried to do that in high school.
You'd sleep an hour every 3 or 4 hours or something
like
that?
It was like less than that. It was like you slept
maybe an
like,
hour every 6 hours?
Slept like 45 minutes every 3 hours or something like that. And kids would try it, and your body would get used to it. Your brain would just not function well.
Mm-hmm.
And no one else is on this schedule. So you're up. There's a Seinfeld episode like it. Where Kramer's up at ridiculous times, and that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, yeah, no, I operate pretty well between the hours of 2 in the morning and 5:30 in the morning when all of your friends are sleeping.
But at what?
Well, if you're Lawrence Frank, I feel like...
No, if you're Lawrence Frank, I'm saying, what were your friends doing at those hours?
Kicking it. I don't know. I was asleep.
You're kicking it that much more efficiently?
I think so. I think they were. I was asleep.
I don't think I could kick it any more efficiently.
What are the chances Jerome gets a contract offer after his third year?
TBD.
TBD, fair. I think Shamet, 100%. I think we're going to maybe have to pay a little bit, and I think they do it. We got to pay Trez.
Well, won't Shamet have one more year then?
Yeah, but I mean, we got to pay Trez next year, which is still going to eat into, you know.
That's true.
We're still locked up for a couple more years.
This is just a quick aside. I kind of want to maybe write something about this, or we can devote a larger segment to it later.
Okay.
What do you think the Sabonis extension says about what Trez could be worth?
Man, I've talked about this a little bit with people on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's kind of not freaking out, but the kettle's starting to boil in terms of how much money Trez is going to get, because he's playing fantastic right now. He's doing everything you would want him to do.
Yeah.
Like, he's hit the ground running.
And I would say...
Which is what happens when you play basketball year-round.
Man, it's hard. I mean, because I do like Sabonis a lot. I think he's a great player. 4 for $75. Dang, that's a lot of money for somebody who you kind of plan on coming off the bench at the sixth man.
But yeah,
I would say that Trez maybe offers a little bit more value offensively just because of the pick and roll.
But how much more does Lou have? What if Lou's done after next year?
Yeah, no. That's fair. That's fair.
What if we get one more year of Lou after this year?
Because
we're signing Trez to probably a 4-year contract? He's young.
Like a minimum. I don't know if you can. I don't like. I
have said this before. I said this last season. A lifetime contract for $10 million a year would be a great deal for Trez to sign.
Oh, because he's getting paid even when he's not playing?
Of course. It's a lifetime contract.
Yeah. That's a great plan. I love that.
Inflation's only going to go up. The value of the dollar is going to be absurd. That $10 million in 10 years is going to be like $4 million now. It's only going to go lower.
I mean,
with the currency that Ballmer invents? No. No, it's going to be a lot. He is with Clutch, which I don't have as much. I don't have like disdain for Clutch. I feel like a bunch of people do. They did mess up a couple of their clients' deals, which, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But their guys tend to get paid.
Their guys tend to get paid.
It also, I think, depends on if we win.
I think it depends on if we win. I think it just depends on situation. And it depends on, honestly, so this is like the double-edged sword because I did say that.
Best swords are double-edged. Doesn't make any sense. I have a one-edged sword.
No, when I say double-edged, it means the handle is also a sword. Like I said, I think that it could inflate Trez's value, just having that pick-and-roll combo. But I think on the other hand, to other teams, if you're just looking to sign one of the two,
okay,
does that lower your offer?
Another factor, the free agent class is garbage next year. Not garbage. That's rude. Shallow.
It's a little more shallow.
It is. It's not going to be very good. I don't know. I'm kind of dreading it.
It's a little more shallow, but I think there's going to be less buyers as well.
I don't know, man. I guess there's only, four teams that have over... and we don't even know what's going to happen with... Isn't the cap is tied to the China situation?
Possibly. Probably.
We're going to get into that for the next 6.5 hours. Real quick, we got a tough stretch coming up. We go Jazz, Spurs, back-to-back. Then the Jazz again, then Bucks, Blazers back to back. Scale 1 to 10. How are you feeling right now, confidence wise? That we're gonna come out 3 out of 5. Ten being Fonzie turning on the jukebox.
I'm gonna say 6.5 to 7.
Okay. I'll just say 7.5.
All right.
I think the back to back is going to be this early in the season. I think one of those back to backs might be a weird stride hitter for this team.
Two back to backs that quick is interesting. Hopefully that means
last four games are at home though.
I was going to say hopefully that means we've got less towards the end of the season.
Yeah,
which better to finish strong in my opinion.
Absolutely. Oh man, Thursday. We're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory, that game over the Jazz, a preview of the game against the Spurs on Halloween, a Thirsty Thursday segment. You will possibly be on the pod tomorrow?
I'll be on the pod tomorrow. Yeah.
You're going out of town?
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll have our first real win, according to Charles Mockler. I think you said that this was the only true test.
We'll see what happens. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to the new listeners. Say what's up to us on the iTunes reviews. We'll read you on here, even if it's mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll censor you
if
there's
cursing.
We want
to know what you think. Don't curse.
Please don't curse. I've been positive, Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.